so much, might not know much.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279EG Reedsburg.
We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning. Welcome, everyone. It is good to see you all this morning. We've got some guests, some visitors, some people who are here. Well, I was looking at the every week, but they're also every day. Welcome, everybody. It is good to be together. A few announcements before we get started. The liturgist today is Deb Chudy. Herm had something else. Radio sponsor is Greg and Lauren Curl, in memory of Lori's grandpa, Verlin Boucher. Oh, I got that right. Also, if you want to sponsor a radio broadcast, just let the church office know. It's $90 a week, and there are some open dates. It's important. We have some people who are very faithful radio listeners and also YouTube watchers. So we want to keep ministering to them too. Stock the Schools campaign that's coming up. We're collecting school supplies. So if you have some to bring in, there's a bin just out here. Also, the Sauk City Cow Chip Parade is coming on August 31st, it's a Saturday. We've got a church float, and we would love to see...
I have an announcement.
Oh, yeah. Yes, please.
Can I do that now?
Yes. Okay.
Good morning.
I'm here on behalf of the Love Thy Neighbor Committee, which I think of things kind of in a picture is the branches and the crown that has grown from the roots and the trunk of the Open and Affirming Committee and the covenant, the adoption of the covenant itself. We work for social justice and for all, and our group stands for love and inclusivity. And we have an opportunity coming up, the Cow Chip Parade, to be a visible symbol of love and tolerance and welcome for all. We will be walking and riding. We do have a vehicle and a trailer for anyone who wants to join, but isn't able to walk the whole route or just needs a rest. This is on Saturday, October 31st, the official, or I'm sorry, August, I do that all the time. August 31st, the official start time is noon, and this is an official invitation for anyone willing, able, and available to join us to walk for love, in love, and with love. So please join us. We are a little bit short on volunteers right now, and so we're wanting people to come join us, please. Anyone out there watching on YouTube and listening on the radio, everyone is welcome. This is our chance to show our community that we are a safe and loving church family. Any specific questions, let's see, Christy Kinneman is not here today, but she's kind of being our, she's our chief logistics officer for the parade. Other members, Tamara Straub, Barb Sprecher, myself, Shirley Lenved is here today, Denny, and Pastor Jennifer. So any questions, please let us know, but please come. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I like your shirt. I have a few from there. Jesus said the very, very most important thing is love God, love your neighbor. All right, I think that's all the announcements. Oh, okay. Welcome.
Fill you in on our annual drive-through chicken dinner. Our date is coming up after Labor Day, Sunday, September 8th. It starts at 11 o'clock until the dinners are sold out. You'll get a half a chicken, potato, coleslaw roll, and a treat for $15. Want to just thank Galen Alwyn and his crew again. They're our head chicken cookers. We have sign-up sheets back in the narthex for workers. In the past, this has been a tremendous activity for our congregation to bring everyone together. And we do need a lot of people helping. So I'm hoping that we get a good sign up today with those of you that are here. I know this is a busy time because we're getting close to the start of the school season. People are getting their last vacations in, so I'm sure there will still be slots available as we move forward. But if you want to call the church office or email them or contact Rose or myself, we will be happy to sign you up and find a spot for you. So again, that date is Sunday, September 8th. Check your calendars. See if you're available, and we hope to see you helping out with the chicken dinner, or at the very least, driving through for a chicken dinner. Thanks.
Thank you, Marcy. And our welcome statement. Accept one another, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. We at First Church, First United Church of Christ, Sauk City, have been embraced by the inclusive love of Jesus. And so we strive to be a welcoming presence in Sauk City and beyond. We invite anyone and everyone to worship and serve with us. Everyone who covenants with us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly in the way of Jesus will be a valued member of this fellowship. Without regard to sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, race, or faith background. Everyone is welcome here, and we really mean it. Now let's take a few moments of silence to come into this holy time and space. Joan Chittister, in the Benedictine tradition, told a story when she was joining her order. They had to come to chapel 15 minutes early. And she thought, why would I do that? Why would I come early when I could get a little more laundry done, or study a little bit longer, or read, or something? Why would I come early? And then she noticed, when she came early, she had a moment to put away the laundry and the studying and all the things that she had to do. That moment allowed her to be here in the presence of God and neighbor. It was called Statio. That's why we do this.
Please join me in the call to worship as written in your bulletin or on the screen. We believe that bread comes from grains that grows in the wind and the rain with the farmer's help, far from the eyes of city folk.
We believe that bread comes from the love of God, the love of the farmers, the love of the baker's hands, the love of those who bring it to us.
We believe that bread can be and should be broken and shared and given to all persons until all have enough and then some.
We believe
that Jesus loved bread and took it and broke it and blessed it and fed his disciples and asked them to feed us forever. We believe enough in bread to want it from Jesus, to want it to nurture us, to want to give life through it.
We believe the Spirit will help us be Jesus' people. Amen.
Please stand if you are able for our opening hymn in the New Century Hymnal, number 84, This Is the Day.
This is the day that our Lord has made, that our God
Thank you, Denny. It was lovely. Please join in our prayer of unburdening. Gracious God, ground of being, we confess that sometimes we are resentful and refuse to break bread with others. Sometimes we focus so much on our own food that we forget those who have nothing to eat. We ignore that bread comes to us through farmers and bakers and many others, and ignore the impact of our consumption on creation and other creatures. Forgive us and help us to do better. Divine love far exceeds all the grain that ever has or ever will exist. There is enough food for all. Love for everyone, forgiveness for everyone, for which we all say, thanks be to God. I am going to pull a little bit of a switcheroo, which I won't do very often, but can we have our kids' time now? Will our kiddos come up? And moms or grandmas or whoever, dads, are welcome to come too. You want to come up here with me? Your second day and you're up. All right. So this is called communion. We have bread and we have grape juice here. Some churches use wine. Some churches use both. Rosemary. Rose. makes this bread. It's kind of, you want to feel it? Do you want to feel it? Yeah. You want to feel the bread? It's okay if you don't. Yeah, good. Thank you. What we do here, and lots of churches do this, although we're a little bit different too. We tell the story of Jesus's very last night. He had dinner with his friends. His very last night before he died, he decided he wanted to eat with his friends. So they had bread on the table. I always like bread on the table. I'm fond of bread. And he took the bread, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to everybody. And he said, eat this and remember me. And he said, for in the future when you're at table, eat bread and remember. Remember that Jesus loves you. Remember. I know, I'm talking a lot, right? Yeah. I know. Remember that we're supposed to love each other and we're supposed to share. And he also shared a cup with them and he said, remember how important you are, how wonderful you are. So that's what we do here every single Sunday. We break the bread and we have our little cups of juice. And I said, a lot of churches do this and we're a little bit different because at this church, at the UCC church, everybody can come up. If it's your first time here, if you're little, and it's okay with your parents, everybody can come up. And we are glad to have you. And we know God is glad to have you too. So it's like we're sitting at dinner
with God, which is a pretty cool thing, I think. All right, you can stay up or you can go sit down again if you'd like. And we'll have communion now. Yeah, you're welcome to stay up here if you would like. Okay, I'm so shocked to hear that you are. Yeah. So without exception, everyone is welcome at this table. So if you're hungry or even just curious, please come and taste. Everybody welcome. So we tell the story. On his last night, the night before he was betrayed, the night before he went to his death, Jesus sat with his friends and he talked for quite a long time. There's precedent for this. He talked to them and he told them to love each other. And then he took the bread and he broke the bread. And then he took a cup of wine and he poured the wine and said, "Remember, remember always that you are beloved, that you are friends, that you are welcome at this table because it's God's table and God wants you. Remember to share and welcome others too." And then we bless it. Holy Spirit, pour out your love and power and grace on this bread, this wine, this congregation, so that as we eat and drink at your table, we may also be bread of life. Cup of love. We may also love big, inclusively. We may share. Amen. All right, now it's time to share. So it's okay. Deb and Tammy? All right.
Now we have our readings. And there's an extra one today called the Now Testament, which is just a bit of modern wisdom that speaks to our theme for today.
It seems to me that our three basic needs for food and security and love are so mixed and mingled and intertwined that we cannot straightly think of one without the others. So it happens that when I write of hunger, I am really writing about love and the hunger for it, and warmth and the love of it and the hunger for it, and then the warmth and richness and fine reality of hunger satisfied, and it is all one. I got to catch my breath. Bible reading is from the 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 4 through 8. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. And then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Here ends our reading.
Our gospel reading today, John chapter 6, verses 51 to 58. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed amongst themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of God, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which the ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. So we have another week on bread. This is called the Bread of Life Discourse. Just before what we heard from the Book of Kings today, that Deb read for us, there is a great confrontation. It's about Elijah. Elijah is God's prophet. And then there are the priests of Baal who are favored by the queen, Jezebel. You've probably heard of her. There's a reason we don't associate her name with good things. Her husband, King Ahab, was perhaps the worst king Israel ever had. It tells us he sinned more than his father, who sinned more than his own father. He married Jezebel, a foreign princess, and he built pagan temples and opened the palace to their prophets. So at this time, there's been 3 years without rain. There's no food. So King Ahab gathers these priests of Baal, 450 of them. And he wants them to have a ceremony, make the rain come. And then Elijah shows up and proposes a test. So an altar is built, wood is laid around, an ox is slaughtered, the pieces laid at the altar. The 450 priests of Baal go ask their god to light the fire. Nothing happens. Then Elijah prays, and the fire lights right up. Then the Israelites kill the 450 priests of Baal, and rain comes. Jezebel hears that her priests were dead, and she sends a message to Elijah that she was going to have him killed the next day. It's a little James Bond villain, like, you're going to get, this is what's coming for you. So he fled. He goes into the wilderness far beyond, and he's safe. He gets to a land where Jezebel does not rule. The wilderness in the Bible and in some contemporary remote spots is formidable. There's little food, there's little water, the weather is not forgiving. It's a place of testing. That's why Jesus goes there. So Elijah finds himself in the wilderness. He's not excited about his victory. He's despondent. He's afraid. He's depressed. He's tired. He might even feel conflicted about the 450 priests that were just killed. He is even suicidal. He literally asks God to kill him so that he won't have to face another day. He collapses under a broom tree and prays to die. It is enough, O God, take my life. And he falls asleep. And then in one of the most tender passages in the Hebrew Bible, he wakes up to the touch of an angel. The angel says to him, get up and eat. He looks and he sees a cake baked on hot stones, and he sees a jar of water. He eats a little, he lies down again. Maybe he was too tired to do anything but nibble. That's not enough for this angel, so she pokes him again, or shakes him. She said, get up, eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you. So he got up and he ate and he drank. And this time, maybe he took more than a bite or two and a swallow of water. And his strength comes back to him. On the strength of that food, the bread, the water, probably the care, He was able to go 40 days and 40 nights. In the Bible, that means a long time. There is so much to love in this story. He's weary and sad. He's done something and people are after him, and he is so tired. He just wants it to be done. He can't anymore. He just can't. Some of us might have been there. An angel comes to him and sets the table while he sleeps. The cake is warm and fresh, smelling like warm, fresh cake. She makes him when the meal is ready. She reaches out to touch him twice, saying, "Eat and drink. You need this." The Hebrew points us back to Elijah's complaint early on. It is too much. The angel uses that same language. It is too much. It will be too much for you. She doesn't say, "Come on, Elijah, look on the bright side." She doesn't say, "Oh, it's not so bad, Elijah." She doesn't say, "Well, Elijah, if you had enough faith, you wouldn't be having this problem." She says, "Eat, because the journey is hard and you need nourishment. Eat and drink, because you can't make it on your own." She said, "Eat, because God wants you to go on." She doesn't spiritualize the exhaustion. She doesn't offer a shortcake or a shortcut. Little slip there. Possibly Freudian. She doesn't offer him a shortcut. The journey is his to make, and he has to make it. But she says he can choose how he makes the journey. He can decide what condition he will be in, famished or fed, strong or weak, accompanied or alone. He gets to choose. And in this week's gospel reading, Jesus compares himself to manna, another ancient, powerful, miraculous food source. He says he wants to be our substance and our strength, not in some magical cure-all, "I'm saved" kind of way, but in ways that meet us in our real lives. He knows better than anyone that the journey is hard, will be hard. And he knows we need bread that sustains. He's been urging the crowd to understand that he is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. And today he takes it in a more controversial, confrontational, kind of weird way. They're already feeling uncomfortable about this. He's the bread. We're supposed to eat him. And he's going to make it even weirder, which is a thing he did. He doubles down. "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood," he's going to repeat it, "have eternal life. I will raise them up on the last day. My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink." The word that he uses is close to gnaw, like a dog with a bone. It's a little gross, right? Yeah. In early Christianity, the Romans said, "What is with these people? Are they cannibals? What is this strange ritual? What the heck? Who eats body and drinks blood?" And remember, the Jews at the time and also now, they have a whole bunch of dietary laws. If you touch blood, you have to go purify. You can't eat pork or shellfish. You can't have meat and dairy at the same time. Cannibalism was not a thing. Anybody read The Red Tent? Yeah. It's a novel about one of
Israelite woman. The red tent, she had to go and be away every time she had her menstrual cycle. Outside of the camp, away from everyone. And here's Jesus saying, you've got to eat my body and drink my blood. Martin Copenhaver, who's a UCC famous pastor, in church nerd circles famous, told a story about one communion Sunday. He's preaching this, he's going to give communion, and he says, with all the table set and the crystal and the beauty and the congregation is silent and serious because it's communion, and he says, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. And a little girl in the congregation said, ew, yuck. Yes, we're used to it. But he was getting at something here. Bread is magical. It's a few ingredients, flour, water, salt, some yeast, or sourdough. Maybe a little oil or butter. Wonder Bread has 30 ingredients. But real bread, real bread is just a few. Michael Pollan has a show called Cooked series, a few episodes. One is on bread, and it begins in a household in Morocco. A woman pours flour and water into a large flat bowl, and she starts to knead it by hand. And she says in Arabic that she makes bread every morning. And if you've made bread or seen bread made, you know how that looks. First it's all sticky and shaggy, and then it starts to come together, and the dough is smooth and elastic and beautiful, if you're that kind of nerd too. And she forms it into these perfect balls. He places the balls of dough on a large flat tray. Her son puts it on his head and goes off to the community, the village oven, to bake it. Bread is sacred. In Morocco, it's forbidden to take a knife to bread in certain religious traditions because it's too violent. It's sacred, and you don't stab it. You break it. It's never thrown in the garbage. If you drop it on the floor, you pick it up and kiss it. In some cultures, Arabic cultures, the word for bread is the same as the word for life. In Hebrew, the word for bread can also mean food. So sometimes when we are reading a translation, we find food, it means they're having bread. And it is all through the Bible. Joseph was sold in slavery by his brothers. And he meets his brothers again when they come for bread. Manna to the Israelites. Abraham meets three strangers back at the beginning of the covenant. And he rushes to tell Sarah, let's make bread for them. Elijah. Bread is more nutritious than the grain, bigger than the sum of its parts. If you have grain or flour and water to eat, you can't live on that for very long. But if you bake it into bread, you can live on it for a long time. Church too is greater than the sum of its parts. It's everyone in here. Everyone in here. Everyone listening on the radio, everyone watching on YouTube, everyone who's ever been here, it's our community. It's all of our church throughout the world, in the past and the present, bigger than the parts. So God promises to be with us, to be in us, to stick with us forever. We've heard, we are what we eat, right? That's science. We are what we eat. You hear it from the time you're a little kiddo. And Jesus says, here, eat me, drink me, take me into your hearts and take me into your cells, and I will be with you forever.
The word abide is used in John's gospel at least 44 times. Meno, it means remain, stay, abide with me. That's relationship, to abide. And in eating, we abide in Jesus. He offers himself. Some ancient literature suggested this image of eating the teacher's person as absorbing their wisdom. Mostly this started out that you go to a feast that the teacher gives, that last night of Jesus. Go to a feast and eat, and you absorb the wisdom, the love. And that's what he's offering here. Not just edification, not just food, but transformation. This flesh and blood, it points to Jesus's life and death. He's not offering himself as a metaphor, but as a person who gives for others to eat and drink at the table of wisdom. Whoever eats this will never be hungry, will never thirst. This is spiritual, of course. Doesn't mean we'll never get a snack again, but it means we are in relationship. Jesus is in us. We are with Jesus. And that is what God wants, to nourish us, to offer relationship and love. So get up. Eat. You are invited to wisdom's table. You are invited to be what you eat. So take the spiritual bread, the spiritual drink. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for all of us. Amen. And our hymn is Where is the Bread? It's new words to a familiar tune. So the tune is Abbot's Lee, or God is Here. It's number 70 in the New Century Hymnal for those who read music. Know the tune. And the words are on the screen or in your insert. Anything else, Danny?
I'll play through it once.
All right.
Thank you.
you. Now it's time to share prayers with God, who knows and who loves us in all things. Any prayers to share today, joys or concerns?
Good morning. I'd like for us to share a prayer for Harlan Hartman, who had a stroke this past week. He was in the hospital and had a procedure done, and when Lorraine called me, she said he was doing well, but would appreciate our prayers.
And there's also a card in the back if anybody wants to sign it for Harlan.
If you could just have prayers for my friend Lenore, who was diagnosed with cancer about a month ago. So she'll be fighting hard, and help her along.
What was her name?
Lenore.
I saw the face of God yesterday. We had a family reunion. We've been doing this for 39 years. It's on my mother's side. Around my grandma's birthday, who passed away many, many years ago. I have two cousins, brothers. There were three, and now there's two. During COVID, we lost one of them. This family, the two brothers that are still with us, always argued at the family reunion or just completely ignored each other. And they talked yesterday and they hugged. And I don't know why. I don't know what the change is. It was just really great to see.
Many of you are aware that this weekend is a Badger steam and gas engine show, and Tim and Sue Herbrand are in charge of the massive undertaking of running the food stand for Mission Possible this weekend. And I know many of you worked either Friday, Saturday, and maybe some are working yet today. So just a thanks to everyone that supported that endeavor.
Take a moment of silence for the prayers that we hold in our hearts, if there are no more to speak aloud. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.